Yo, yo, mic check. Yo, Stephanie, turn my bass up. I always wanted to say that. This is my first time ever addressing a crowd like this, so I should take advantage of it and have fun. For those who don't know me, maybe you might see me play in the praise and worship team. My name's Derald. I'm from America. I guess you'll find out about it, but my major is poetry. So, what God put on my heart is, in John 1:1 it said, in the beginning was the Word. So words became very important to me at a very young age. And so, in this testimony, I kind of want to go through and show you what God has revealed to me about words and about His Word. But first, I wanted to take this opportunity to thank Isaac for what he's done for us this time as serving our congregation. So the way that God has worked through him. So could we clap for God that the way he's worked through Isaac? An entire weekend for him. Personally, I don't want to speak on it too much, that's the point of the testimony, but personally, I've been watching Isaac for about 5 years, and I watched God work through him, and it's been an amazing experience that's really spoke to my own faith. So I don't know how to express it in words, but it's amazing what God is doing. So we'll talk about that though. So the topic at hand, I can't really say anything, is experiencing the Holy Spirit. Before we talk about experiencing the Holy Spirit, I think it's very important for us to have a conversation that we have to come to terms with definition. So you can understand exactly what I'm talking about when I might say love, for example. Like, I love you. It might mean something different to you than it does to me. So we need to come to an understanding of what that has. As we can see, these days in current situations, there's a lot of argument because we're actually talking about different things. We think we're talking about the same thing, but we are not talking about the same thing. A Christian speaking to someone secular. Love might mean something completely different. It might mean something carnal, but for us, it should mean something spiritual, okay? So I want to go through some definitions first. We should have a bird. You can do next slide. Okay. I want to go through some definitions with us first before I share my testimony. So you can go to the next slide again. The first thing I wanted to think about before I came here is, what is a testimony? Isaac's like, hey, can you share your testimony? I was like, what is that? Because I didn't want to go off my own understanding of like, oh, I'm just going to say whatever I can say. So I searched the word and tried to figure out what a testimony was. And so you can go to the next slide. I came to 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 2. And it says, and I, when I came, this is Paul speaking. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Bah. Problem. First thing I thought is, I'm going to show you some wisdom and some lofty speech. And I said, I need to start over. So I was humbled. He said, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was like, First of all, I said, amen. Thank you for the correction very early on. Why write a whole presentation using lofty words and wisdom, and then you gotta go and delete all of that? I don't know if you guys have ever felt that in your walk in Christianity, where you gotta delete a lot of stuff that you thought you knew. And then suddenly you start to realize that you only know nothing except for what God has revealed to you. And I'm getting to that point, I'm still far away from there, but I'm getting to that point is that I know nothing. And it's freeing to know nothing. Because you get stuck in arguments, you get stuck in wrong choices. But if you just listen to what God has revealed, life becomes a lot easier. That brings us to the Holy Spirit, right? What does God reveal? The Holy Spirit becomes extremely important to us. As we speak today, like, I'm not speaking about what I know, and thank God for that. I'm speaking about what God has revealed. So I just pray that in your hearts that you just have soft hearts and try to receive what I'm trying to say. And I know in the current society, we talk about the parable of the sower. We're placing a lot of words on, we're giving our testimony, we're speaking about God, but the soil is among thorns. And when we talk about the parable of the sower, when you speak the word of God, the cares of the world choke that up. So you hear like, you know, like, be obedient. But then the cares of the world start to make you not want to be obedient because there's something over there that's very enticing. So I just pray that what I say today fall on good soil for you guys, and that it could bear fruit. Because I'm not speaking for myself. You can go to the next slide. So first, I wanted to undo some misconceptions. Okay, to experience the Holy Spirit, we must know Him. Okay, the Holy Spirit is a person. I don't need to talk about that, I don't believe. I think you guys have all heard that before. Okay, in John 14, 16 through 17, it says that it cannot receive the Spirit because the world doesn't see Him and doesn't know Him. The world cannot receive the Spirit because it doesn't see Him or know Him. So as Christians, that means we should try to know the Holy Spirit. Right? We should try to know the Holy Spirit. Okay. You can go to the next slide. First misconception. I don't feel God's presence. Bam. If you receive the Holy Spirit, He's inside of you, right? He's with you. God is never distant. Never, never, never. We know the psalmist said, like, you know, don't leave me, don't leave me. But we've received the Holy Spirit, so God is never distant. So we look in 2 Timothy 2-14, it says, or it's not 2-14, 2:14, it says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So you have the Holy Spirit deposited into you, and along with other things included into that deposit. So never trick yourself, never be misconceived that God is distant. God is with you, right? The Holy Spirit is inside of us. And I would just pray that I could get one amen on that. Okay, so one way to experience the Holy Spirit is to don't be fooled. Remember that God is never distant. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Okay, you can go to the next slide. Works. Oh, controversy. Works. So works do not help us understand the Spirit better. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do charity. I'm going to serve so that I can know the Spirit better. No. It is the Spirit that leads us to works. So if you know God, you will be led to works. And so all this conversation about works, grace, there's a struggle in our church about that, right? What should I do? If I do a work, suddenly I am trying to gain my own salvation. And the Bible says that we can't do that by our power, right? We're all going to be humbled, that no one can do it, right? The Old Testament showed us that in the law, that you cannot, through your effort, gain salvation. It's like, oh, but there's so much conversation about works. What do we do with that, okay? We can look in Ephesians, it's on there, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Okay. So, knowing the Spirit, the byproduct, one of the byproducts of knowing the Spirit is works. If you know God, you will be compelled. If you know the Spirit of God, you will be compelled to love. You'll be compelled to serve, okay? So don't chase love, don't chase service, chase the Spirit, and you will see this fruit in your life, okay? So this is very important for my own life, and I hope that speaks to you, that chase the Spirit, You might be tired. I can see it in our pastor. I can see it in our congregation. You might be tired. You might not even be in a good emotional state, as Alex had talked about. But if you chase the Spirit will work through you. And you'll just look back and, how did I do that? How did I even do that? Because you didn't. It was the Spirit that did it, right? The Spirit did it through you. So that's a very important also. So we can go to the next slide. Some misconceptions. Why we received the Holy Spirit? I'm not going to read the verses, but I wanted to make sure you know this is not from my opinion. This is from Scripture. First, the Holy Spirit is a sign that we belong to God. So I don't know if you guys ever had this experience where you just meet another Christian or you meet a person, and you're like, something kind of moves inside of you. Something's kind of stirred. You're like, what's going on here? Are you a Christian? You're like, yeah. I know a lot of us have this experience where you often have that. We have this sign that we belong to God. We've received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also given to us to understand His will. We can see that in 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 13. And also, through the Spirit, we are meant to partake in the ministry of the gospel. Ephesians 2:10. And then, among other things, the Spirit is given to us for our sanctification process. I won't go into detail about that, but I want us to be mindful. What is the Holy Spirit doing? Who is the Holy Spirit? So I want to create that shape so that we can have a conversation. You can go to the next slide. So we look at this need for definition in our church. The Holy Spirit is working on making us have one body so that we belong as one body. The Holy Spirit is helping us understand that one promise and helping us see the one way, okay? To experience the Holy Spirit, we not only need to know Him, we also need to understand the work that He is doing on earth. The Holy Spirit is creating one body. The Holy Spirit is working through this one promise, and the Holy Spirit is taking us to this one way. Okay, next slide. Crazy question, what is the gospel? Yesterday I shared the gospel. I mean, we're not in the kind of environment for me to hear answers, but I do wonder, what's going through your mind right now? What is the gospel? You know, I feel like there's a few different answers going through people's minds, and I wonder. So we need to define that when we think about the gospel. So let's look at the next slide. We're going to look at Scripture. Romans 1:16-17, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Okay, so we think about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is for the gospel. What is the gospel? I shared the gospel. We should be talking about salvation. It tells us right here, right? Salvation to everyone who believes. We should be talking about the belief that God is real, right? This is what we're talking about when we talk about the gospel, belief and salvation. So let's be aware of that, that the Holy Spirit is helping our belief. The Holy Spirit is leading us to salvation. Okay. Next slide. A little controversial topic, the will of God. How does the Holy Spirit teach us about the will of God? Again, to understand the will of God, we should know what the Holy Spirit is doing and who the Holy Spirit is. So we look at the next slide. My favorite verse these days, not in my life, but recently the one that speaks to me is John 3:16-17. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." So what is the will of God? We can see the will of God by His actions. Why does Jesus come to earth? What does God want? Does He want to smite? What does it tell us? What does God want? Why is Jesus sent to the earth? So, it actually says so there, right? Or actually, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The will of God is that he wants you to live. He wants you to live. Why? Death is real, right? The wages of sin are death. So God has a desire that you live. And so we can see that in the action, okay? So we know that God wants us to live. In other parts of the Bible, we can see that he wants us to live in abundance. I won't talk about that today, but abundance is a very interesting thing too. And something a little harder is that when we say follow Christ, that means we must die for the salvation of others. Are you willing to die for the salvations of others? Christ did. If you're to follow Christ, are you willing to die for the salvation of others? I don't mean this necessarily so literally, but are you willing to go that far for your brothers and sisters? The will of God is that he wants us to live. Are you willing to do that? John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. So when you talk about love, I love you. That must mean you are willing to lay down your life for that person. If we're speaking spiritually, right? If we're speaking spiritually, but if we're speaking secularly, that might mean something else. But we need definition so we can have this conversation. All right, and going on to the next one. Grace. Grace. Something that God's really spoken to me recently. A lot of times we hear grace and works on opposite ends of a spectrum. No. Everything in God is harmonious, right? Everything in God is harmonious. So we couldn't say that they're opposite ends of the spectrum. They should be kind of working together in a kind of flowing harmony, right? So how do we bring grace and works, which we had an understanding is way over here and one's over here, how do we bring them together? Okay. We need to have a better understanding of what grace means. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's like, oh, okay. So I need to understand grace to understand being saved. So we can look at the next slide. We look at Isaiah 51:22, and I've added Psalm 75, the whole thing, and 2 Peter 3, also the whole thing. It talks about this. It says, thus says your Lord, the Lord your God who pleads the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken from your hand a cup of staggering. The bowl of my wrath you shall drink no more. Grace is this. You do not drink the wrath of God. Okay? Before, when you sin, you die. That was the law of nature. But now, that's not working that way anymore because we're now under the law of grace, is that when you sin, you don't die. But there is a cup of wrath that is being filled up that will eventually be poured. But by the grace of God, we have an opportunity to reach salvation. So I like to think of it in the term, banking terms. When you have like a loan, you have a grace period, right? You have a grace period. And in that grace period, you don't have to pay back anything, right? But eventually you should pay back, right? During that grace period, you don't have any interest rates or anything. You just, what you owe just sits there, right? It just sits there. And later you must pay back. And luckily we have Jesus Christ, which pays that. And I'm sure all of you are familiar with all of the scripture that speaks to that. So when we say that we are saved by grace, that means that our sin that we have all committed, we do not die for. Because the wrath is being stored up. So let's understand that. So going on to the next one, faith. Okay, again, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So I know what grace is, right? I know how I've been saved because the wages of sin are not death anymore because we're under a new system. But now, what is this faith? And this one's a lot harder, I believe, when we think about this. But to understand our being saved, we must understand what faith is. So I look in two places. You can go to the next slide. I look in two places for understanding faith. The first one is very clear to us. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. When I was young, I said, what is that things not seen? I always wondered what that was. And when I was young, I thought it was God. So I was like, yeah, the thing you don't see is God. And I was wrong completely. And if I was wrong in that, it messed up a lot of my understanding of other things. So I had to consider, what is that thing unseen? What is this writer talking about in Hebrews? When we talk about if that thing not seen is God, then we would actually be talking about not faith, we would be talking about belief. And when we look at belief, belief is something that we actually do see. We can look back in the Old Testament and we think about the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke as the ancient Israelites were being led through the wilderness. The waters of Meribah, the ancient Israelites were thirsty. We're like, we're going to die of thirst. And water just miraculously came out of rock. Think about the bread of heaven as the Israelites are going to starve. The parting of the Red Sea. The ancient Israelites saw a lot of God's work, but they still did not believe, right? That wasn't about faith because it was actually something that they saw. So if we look at the next slide, we have an understanding of what faith is. Earlier on in Hebrews, it says in 10:19-23, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Oh, there's that assurance of faith. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So, when we think about the unseen is in 23 when we talk about what did God promise us. We have not seen what God has promised us yet. This is the thing that we should have full assurance of. What has God promised to us? This is what faith is. To hear God's promises and walk in full assurance of that. That's what faith is, okay? So this unseen is what he promised. And we should have full assurance. Why? Because it tells us that he who promised is faithful. We've already seen in the Old Testament that God is faithful. We've seen through Christ that God is faithful. So although we have not seen all of the promises of God fulfilled yet, we should have full assurance that he who promised is faithful. We have enough evidence of other things that God is very consistent and he's going to do what he said he was going to do. So have faith in that. Have faith in that. Full assurance, not belief, because we haven't seen it yet, but have faith in it because it's not to be seen yet. So Paul says, for example, I strive for the prize. He has not received that prize yet. He's not seen the prize yet. He doesn't know what that, he knows what the prize is, but he hasn't seen it yet. So it is through faith that he strives that way. Okay, you can go to the next slide. So, now that we have a definition of terms, I need to talk about what it means to experience the Holy Spirit in my life, what I've learned about that. So how have I experienced the Holy Spirit? If you have been paying attention up until now, then you've experienced the Holy Spirit with me. I repeat, you have experienced the Holy Spirit with me. And oh, what a wonderful thing it is. The Word of God is the Holy Spirit. So you've experienced the Holy Spirit. But there's more ways that you can experience the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to talk about that. So the next slide is that He is here. As I put up there, don't get it twisted, which means don't misunderstand. God is here. There was a point in my life, I was living in Seoul, and I was just sick, I was broke, I was lonely. Life had hit probably an all-time low. And I sat in bed and I said, I'm done. If you don't do something right now, God, I'm done. Not in regard to like suicide or something like that, but I'm just going to give up. And it was such an interesting thing, you know. It wasn't like the clouds opened or lightning struck or something like this. Instead, what happened is, in the middle of my tears, I started to laugh. Because why? God said to me, you're not going nowhere. I said to God, I'm done. I'm leaving. And God laughed at me. He's like, you're not going nowhere. And it changed my life. That moment changed my life for the rest of my life, is that he's always here. So I never have to feel sad or worried or lose hope, because the moment that you think you're going to walk away, he's just sitting there like, you're not going nowhere. And we heard that through all of the testimonies from everyone, is that we had hard times, but God is faithful. You're not going nowhere. So now when I have hard times, which I still do, you know, emotionally, I don't take it so hard on myself anymore, because I'm not living that lie that God is away. I'm suffering because God is far away from me. That's not true. But if God was far away, that suffering would be very hard, right? You would be in despair. Like, if God is away, what hope do I have? But it's not true. You have plenty of hope because God is here, because we know that we've received the Holy Spirit. So this is one thing that I've learned in my life, and I'm just so thankful that God laughed at me. I'm thankful that God laughed at me, and I'm just so thankful that, as I often say, he goes into the wilderness for that one lost sheep. So the next slide. Something that I've learned more through Dongshen is, do not covet the gifts of the Spirit. So the Spirit is awesome and it gives you amazing things, and you want to covet it. You want to keep it for yourself. And that's actually not what it works. The fruits of the Spirit tell us something crucial. We were given the Spirit for the sake of others. Love. That's dealing with other people. So the Spirit helps you love others. Joy. People see your joy, and that is going to testify to the power of Christ. Peace. That's always dealing with more than one party, right? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's all dealing with other people. So when we think of the Holy Spirit, you don't want to covet it and be alone and try to experience God alone. I tried that, and I was completely wrong. And then when I came back, I realized it was such a hard time dealing with people. You ever have that where like people annoy you because they're not living holy, for example, or they're even small things, you know, small things from appearance to the sound of their voice. You start to have a problem. That's not of the Spirit. Jesus sat with sinners. How many of us could sit with sinners? I know I couldn't. But Jesus could, because he was working through the Spirit. Especially recently through my life, I'm working on not coveting the Spirit, but I'm trying to live through the Spirit. And that means loving others. Love. We talked about love. Am I willing to give my life for another person? Am I willing to give my comfort for my brothers and sisters in the church? And I am. Not to the fullest, but I'm maturing through the Spirit, through the power of the Spirit. Do you have joy thinking about God? Do you have joy so people can see that you love God? I don't know if there's a higher testimony to how great God is than seeing someone's joy. Because people start to say, why is that guy so joyous? Why is that woman so joyous? I want to understand. Can you explain to me your joy? And then suddenly a huge door is open. And now we're talking about salvation for someone who is not going to live. Okay? So that's crazy. That's huge. And we could go on to the rest of them, but I think the point is made. And we go on to the next slide. Kind of related, that we need to stir up each other. We look at Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We talk about hope, We talk about encouragement. We talk about trust. That all represents something that we have not seen yet. So we start to talk about faith. Have hope. Why do I need hope? Because what's coming is not here yet. You need encouragement. Why? Because you start to worry, like, it's not here, it's not here yet. The Holy Spirit's nickname or alias, the Great Encourager. Why do we need encouragement? Because that works with our faith. That works with our faith. If you don't have hope, it's kind of hard to step forward another step, right? You need hope to push forward. I had talked about that last time, the importance of encouraging one another. So we would think, like, shouldn't the promise of God be enough? Shouldn't the word of God be enough? We need encouragement for the promise. And this is one of the reasons that we've been given the Holy Spirit. So I've learned in my life, especially through Dongshin, because I had kind of two experiences of Dongshin. The side where I felt alone here, and I had the side where I felt encouraged. And so every time I come to church now, I feel encouraged to work harder and walk with God, because the spirit that you're using is speaking to the spirit also within me, and it helps me more than you can imagine. You help me live as you walk in the spirit, and that's great. That's great. So I'm really thankful for that, that I can experience this with my brothers and sisters. And we look at the second to last slide, next one. Is the importance of waiting on the Lord. So we look at Galatians, getting closer to our verse, Galatians 5:5-6. It says, for through the Spirit, so we know the Spirit, and now we know by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait. And we know about this waiting, right? For the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith, and we know that word, working through love. So a lot of times you want to take actions into your own hands, either emotionally or physically. You want to put into work something. But what I've learned these days, one of the greatest things that helps me is waiting on God. Being still. Instead of letting my mind lead me somewhere that's not what God intended, instead, stillness. And through stillness, the Spirit can work through me. But as long as I'm, like, too active in my mind and in my heart and in my emotions, the Spirit is like, hey, man, I'm trying to talk to you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? And, like, I'm like, no, I got things to do. You know, I got responsibilities. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do that. Be still. And know that I am God. And I'm like, oh, you know, and I stop and I'm like, okay. The hardest part, though, is, you know, someone might hit you in the subway right as you walk out of this place. And you're like, hey, man, what are you doing? Oh, you know, you forget how much practice it takes to be still in the middle of a storm, right? It's really hard. Who is it? Peter, worried when the storm came. He's like, oh my gosh. Jesus, be still. Don't you know who's taking a nap in the boat with you right now? You're going to be okay. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. So these days, I really try to practice stillness and prayer. A lot of times I want to exert my own will into my prayer, but I need to be still and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying as opposed to my own desires. Okay. So we can look at the last slide. That's me. That's me. So I would just ask that you pray for me. We understand, I hope, the seriousness of life. We understand the seriousness and the amazingness of God's work. We understand the difficulty of it in certain ways because the world is a hard place. So we need to pray for each other. So I would ask you to pray for me. I have a long ways to go. I'm not even worthy to stand here. I have a long ways to go, but God is worthy. So through him, he can speak to you. So I'm thankful for that, but pray for me. Next thing is be patient. The Bible speaks about maturity. A lot of times when we deal with love for our brothers and sisters, we forget to understand the idea that this is a process. So you might meet someone that's 24, 25 years old, and you're like, oh, sinner, 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 he's done. But you never know what God's going to do tomorrow. If you understand God's power, you can understand that he is definitely able to turn a sinner into a saint. Like that, right? That's how powerful God is, right? And so a lot of times we're like, sinner, 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 sinner. I would recommend, try not to do it. It's hard though, right? You want to separate yourself from things unholy, right? Which I don't see any problem with. Separate, separate, keep distance. But don't condemn this person to hell at 24 years old. Don't do that, right? You never know what God's going to do. If you understand the Holy Spirit, you understand that it's possible that God can do this amazing thing, right? Another thing is, be good to yourself. You're patient with other people, also be patient with yourself. A lot of times we're so hard on ourselves and condemn ourselves when that's not how it's supposed to work. How many times has God used your sin, which is crazy, right? He's used your sin to help you grow. How many times has he used your guilt and suddenly you don't do that no more? Be patient with yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself all the time, right? I had those times where, you know, most people grow up and start to learn legalism first. And you're so legalistic on yourself. Have grace on yourself, right? This is a time of grace. This is not a time of law. So stop being so legalistic on yourself and be patient. Again, wait on God. One of the most important things, keep your hands open. Why? God is a giver. How can you receive if your hands are closed? You can never receive God if your hands are not open. So God's always trying to give. He's a giving Father. He gives in abundance. And you're, no. Right? And you're missing out on so much that he intends for you. So keep your hands open. And that's hard, especially with people. You meet another Christian, are your hands open? Like, this person doesn't know English that well. This person is not my ideal Christian. And you close your hands and you never know that you're going to miss out on things. And I did that. I had my hands closed. I blamed Dongshan, or not really Dongshan, but maybe like the situation of Dongshan for my closed hands. I was missing situations without opening my hands. So I would say that keep your hands open. Find poetry in all things. In all things, there's poetry everywhere, and keep your hands open and be mindful of that. And last, pray like you know who you're praying to. Pray like you know who you're praying to. Dear God, if you're not busy, I know you're busy sometimes, but please, okay, if you don't do it, I understand. Understand that God can do all things. Understand who you're praying to. Pray to him. Pray and say, it's already done because you put it in my heart and I'm just speaking to it. It's done already. And you'll start to see the Holy Spirit work in your life in ways that you could never imagine, you know. And ask for forgiveness like you know who you're asking for forgiveness from. Someone who is able to forgive you. You ask for forgiveness and you start to live in a way that you're not living forgiven. You are forgiven. God is able to do that. And pray like you're saved by God. Live your life like you're saved by God. I don't speak these things from success. I don't speak these things as someone who has reached these kind of goals myself. I preach these things from my mistakes that I could just speak of and such a long list. And I look back in hindsight, I was like, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing? But through the word and through other believers, I've learned and I've grown from that. And I just encourage you guys all to, I gave you a lot of information, but I encourage you all to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, because the results are just unimaginable. The results are just gonna come to you in abundance. And I just wanna say that thank you for everyone here. And I just pray that this God be with you in a way that you just are aware of his presence and you just be in his presence. I ask that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.